right. How many is ready to continue and breaking new ground in your lives? Are you ready for that? Yes, we got to be ready. We got to proclaim it. God, I am ready. Come on, say with me. God, I am ready to break new ground in my life. When we think about breaking ground, we think about expansion. We think about new things being built. And today we are believing this year that God is going to do something new in our life. God is expanding our territories. That's the prayer of Jabez. If you've ever read that little devotional, I challenge you, buy that up. You can pick that in any Christian bookstore just about. Go online. You can download it for just a few dollars. It's called the prayer of Jabez. And it talks about expanding our territories. And as we talk about breaking ground, we're talking about expanding and doing something fresh and new in our life. Last week, we talked about learning to walk in our authority. If we're ever going to break new ground in our life, we must learn to walk in the spiritual authority that God has placed us. And how do I do that? When I get under God's authority, I then get over the things He's placed me over. And when I step out of God's authority, out from under God's authority in my life, I then have no authority over anything below me. But when I step back under God's authority in my life, I then can walk in a spiritual authority of things that God has placed me in spiritual authority of. And so we talked about last week about identifying that sometimes that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against evil spirits. And sometimes we got to recognize and take charge when we feel evil spirits that are trying to come against us. And we don't believe that there's an evil spirit hiding behind every dark corner just waiting to pounce us. But at times we do realize that there is spirits that are trying to attack us. That sometimes there's a spirit of depression that wants to come upon me. Sometimes there's a spirit of sickness that's trying to linger in my family. Sometimes there's a spirit of divorce that's trying to come and get a hold of me and my spouse, and I got to get my marriage straightened. Sometimes I've got to rebuke the spirit of poverty that's trying to attach itself to me and my children. And we got to come against those things, a spiritual authority, and not be afraid to realize that God has given me authority under His name. God has given me authority in His name to speak to any evil spirit that tries to come. When I speak in Jesus' name, it says, that thing must what? Flee from me. It must depart from me. Now today, I want to flip that around. Today, I don't want to talk about dealing with the evil spirits, because I believe that many times we blame a lot of things on the evil spirits when they really aren't the evil spirits that's trying to attack us. It's our own flesh we got to deal with. Some of you said, man, I wish I'd have wore my steel-toed shoes today, Pastor, because this is going to get it. Sometimes it's our own flesh we got to deal with. It's not the evil spirit I'm dealing with. It's my own flesh that I've got to bring under subjection to what God wants to do in my life. How many remember, how many has ever was raised in a charismatic Pentecostal church? If you were raised in that, can you just raise your hand? Let me identify with my brothers. Yeah, you know. How many just were raised and saw a lot of weird things growing up? Anybody see a lot of weird things growing up? I saw a lot of great things, a lot of good things, but I also saw a lot of weird things growing up. And I remember back in the day when I was a kid that we didn't preach on growing in Christ. We didn't preach on battling the spirits or putting our flesh under subjection. What we preached on, what they preached on was bad habits. And they identified particular things and did a whole message. I remember one time when I was a kid, the pastor did a whole message on HBO. No lie. And I'm not here to defend HBO, but, you know, the problem was not HBO. But because, you know, this person had, people had HBO, and this pastor preached a whole sermon on HBO, then he gave an altar call for anybody who had HBO to come to the front and repent. And then everybody who didn't come to the front, who had HBO, and people knew that you had HBO, all the people with the log stuck in their eye would get up and go to you and pull you to the front and say, come on, you know you got it. I've been there. I've watched the movie with that. And they pull them to the front. And then they would circle around them and join hands. And you better do this. Woo, hallelujah. You better lay down like this. Because if you don't, they're going to push you down. And you're going to be there all day and all night until they push you down. Because that HBO demon has got to come out of you. Don't look at me like I'm the only one with a screwed up childhood. Come on. And then we cry and leave, you know. And every time I preached about a habit, they always come and got me because everybody knew I had all the bad habits. I was like a bad habit magnet. And they just come and, we know you, you're the preacher's kid, get over here. We know you're the worst one. And they pull me up the front every time. Here we go again. I got God. And revivals were the worst thing because I got that every night. Get up! Get up! And they surround me. And I'm like, oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But the problem was, as much as I would cry and as much as I would do, you know, pour my heart out to God, I would leave, and 48 hours later, I'd be struggling with the same thing. Why? Because my problem was not a demonic problem. My problem was a flesh problem. I had a problem with my flesh coming under subjection to what God wants to do in my life. And we got to realize that sometimes we need people to pray with us. And I believe 100% in that. That's why we have prayer partners every week who are here to pray and come into agreement according to God's word as we pray one for another. 100% believe in that. 100% believe in praying people through and helping people pray through and get victory in their life. But sometimes in our lives, we just got to realize that we're going to have to learn to put our flesh under subjection to what God wants and quit blaming on everything there is out there. Well, the devil's just after me. No, you just weaken your flesh. And I haven't learned to put my flesh under subjection. I turn to your neighbor and say, this is good. Come on. We got to learn that God wants us to put our flesh under subjection and be managers of our flesh. We're talking about today. That's the question. Do you manage your flesh? And we're going to get into this for a few weeks because this is really good. This is good stuff. You're going to like it. But we got to learn that I've got to learn how to manage my flesh. I've got to learn as I'm going to break new ground in my life this year, if I'm going to expand the territories that God is wanting to do in my life, in my marriage, in my finances, in ministry, then I'm going to have to learn that I must control my flesh and put my flesh under subjection to what God wants to do. I've got to learn how to make my body and my mind obey Christ. Some may think, just because I have pastor in front of my name, the pastor, you just don't understand the temptations I'm going through. You're so out of touch because you're a pastor and you just don't understand. But let me tell you, I struggle every day just like you. I struggle with keeping my flesh under subjection every day just like you. I want to punch the people out in front of me at the grocery store just like you sometimes. I want to have road rage sometime and chase the people down who cut me off and told me I was number one, just like you do sometimes. I want to lose my temper. I want to be selfish. Look at me like I'm that way. Come on. If you're looking for a church that's perfect, you're in the wrong place. If you're looking for a pastor who's perfect, you're looking at the wrong place. Because I believe this, that none of us are perfect and none of us have it together. And it's about time we admit it and start putting our flesh under subjection to what God wants to do and quit trying to act like we all got it together and take off our mask and say, man, I struggle every day with putting my flesh under subjection to the Holy Spirit. But the more I do it, the more it becomes natural. And I, even though I'm tempted in those areas, I don't struggle as much as I used to. I don't give in to them as much as I used to. Sometimes I do. But oftentimes, and most of the time, I don't. There was a time in my life when that wasn't the case. There's a time in my life I couldn't go one day without struggling. I couldn't go one day without failing. And as the more I learned about God's grace in my life, the more I learned about God's power in my life, the more I learned about the authority God has given me, the more I've been able to grow and learn that I've got to put my flesh under subjection. My flesh was never called to rule my life. Let me say again, my flesh was never intended for me to rule my life. And the mature person begins to recognize, you know what? I do a lot of things out of my flesh. I do a lot of reaction out of my flesh. When I put my flesh under submission and say, flesh, you must obey the Spirit of the living God inside me. Flesh, you must come in. And even though you're tempted to do this thing, I know that this thing does not please God and it's going to lead to my destruction. I'm going to take that thing and I'm going to place it under authority that God has already given me. And it's not an evil spirit. It's me taking control of my flesh and say, my body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. My mind is controlled by the Holy Spirit. My heart is controlled by the Holy Spirit. And I'm putting these things under subjection and rule of the Holy Spirit in my life. I was never taught how to manage my faith. How to manage my flesh. My flesh doesn't like being controlled. Let me say again, my flesh doesn't like being controlled. Your flesh doesn't like being controlled or told what to do. That's something we struggle with, but we got to take control. Let's get to our text today in 1 Corinthians 2:9. We're going to start off in verses 9 through 11. I love this text. It's so rich. It says that this is what the scripture means when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. But it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit. For his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. No one can know a person's thoughts except what? That person's own spirit. I love this thing. But it was look what it says. But was to us that God revealed these things by what? His Spirit. Everybody say his Spirit. For his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's... What's everything is it talking about? Everything that no eye has seen, no ear has heard. We just read that. It's just what I want you to know, that the Holy Spirit, when you become a Christian and you begin to pray, say, God, I want your Holy Spirit to fill my life. The Holy Spirit then goes to the Father, searches out the will of God for your life, the things that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and he gets it revealed to him that he comes back to me and he possesses everything inside of my heart, inside of my spirit that God wants to do in me that I can't even imagine. He wants to see things done in me, and but he's got the answers. We far too long, we want things to happen, and the answer is there. It comes through the Holy Spirit. Let's keep reading. It says, no one can know a person's thoughts except what? Except that person's own spirit. And no one can know a God's thoughts except God's own spirit. And so we realize this, that your flesh cannot comprehend everything God wants to do in your life and through your life. Have you ever wondered why God doesn't panic when we panic? Have you ever tried to get God to panic with you just because you were having a bad day? Have you ever gone through something, God, I could use a little sympathy here. God, I'm losing it today, and I'd feel better if you just lose it with me just for a little bit, God. If you would just be stressed out with me, God. Act like you're concerned, Lord. Act like, you know, you're a little bit worried about me. You ever had those days? Am I the only one that's ever had those pity parties myself? But have you ever noticed that God never gets a pity party? And God never gets overreacts to our problem? That God never loses control? Why is that? Because God sees things in 3D, and we see things in 2D. Two-dimensional. We see height, and we see width. We see the height of our problem. We see the width of our problem. But see, God has the ability to see things in 3D. See, God doesn't see the way you and I see. Have you ever tried to watch a 3D movie without 3D glasses? It's blurry, isn't it? You can't see anything. You can't make anything out. But you put the glasses on, and all of a sudden, you have a new depth that you've been able to see. You can see that whole picture like you can see the whole, all the way through it to the end. It's a new depth revealed to you. And what we got to realize is this, that God already sees things in 3D. That God sees not only our height and width of our problem, but he sees all the way through our problem. And he sees that everything is going to come out just fine. And so he doesn't panic. You know why? Because Jesus said on the cross, what? It is finished. It is finished. What's finished? Everything I need to sustain me, it is finished. Everything I need to carry me through my trial, it is finished. Everything I need to help bring victory over this thing in my life, it's already finished. Everything I need to help me be a good steward of what God's placed in my hands, it is finished. Everything I need to walk in my destiny, it is finished. Everything I need to bring my flesh under subjection to God's word, it is finished. It's already taken place. Every grace that I need, it is finished. And so God doesn't panic. Why? God doesn't panic because He sees you through your trial. He sees you through your mourning. He sees you through, and He sees that you're going to be okay. He sees that you will be sustained. And even though you're going to have some hard times, even though you're going to shed some tears, even though you're going to have to be carried at time, even though He may be dragged at time, you will get through it. God has the ability already to see that. And through the Spirit, He has revealed those things. Let's keep reading. 1 Corinthians 2:12. Look what it says. And we have received God's Spirit, not the world's Spirit. Why? So that we can know the wonderful things God has what? Freely given us. What wonderful things is He talking about? He's talking about the things that no eye has seen, no ear has heard. God is wanting to reveal in us through His Spirit the things you can't even see yet, that nobody else has already seen yet. He wants to speak to you things that nobody else has heard. And it comes through His Spirit. It comes through when I get to my flesh under subjection. Let's look at what John 2:20 says. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know what? All things. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are anointed. That's good. Turn to your other and say, you are anointed too. God says, if you're a Christian, He has anointed you to what? Know all things. What's He talking about? All things of the Spirit. He's wanting to reveal things to you and I. We are anointed to know these things about our destiny, about our future. But this is the problem. Our spirit already knows everything God wants to do in our life. But it's our mind that struggles with it. Let's say it again. Our spirit already knows everything that God wants to do in my life. But it's my mind that struggles with it. My flesh struggles with what God wants to do in my life. And so I got to learn how to get my flesh under submission to what God wants to do. Because the Spirit already knows it. The Spirit is already wanting to reveal it to you and I. But some of us here, we struggle with what I call the Beverly Hillbillies mentality. Anyone ever watch that show growing up? I mean, I loved the Beverly Hillbillies growing up. And, you know, they struck it rich with the oil. And they were multi-millionaires, you know. Come listen to a story about a man named Jed. Poor mountaineer, barely kept his family fed. You know the story, yeah, you know the song. And what was so funny was these guys, they had all that money and they never bought a new truck. Jed still wore the old raggedy coat he had and hat. Granny wore those old combat boots she still had. They still were eating possum. She was still making lime soap in the cement pond. I mean, they had this mentality, even though they could have had much better things, they still had the mentality of living in the hills. And see, in our life, that there's so much more that God's wanting to reveal to you and I, but our flesh keeps us living in the hills. Our flesh keeps us bound to the people we used to be. And God's like, man, I got so much more I want to reveal to you. I got so much more that I want to do through you. I got so much more that I want to do to you, through you, and use you. No eye has seen, no ear has heard what the Spirit wants to do in your life and in my life. But we struggle with this. I'll say things to you that you are the head and not the tail. And our mind struggles with statements like that. I say we are sons and daughters of the kings. And our spirit says, yes, but our mind whispers, not you. That's everybody else, not you. It's our flesh that we struggle with. First Corinthians, keep reading. 1 Corinthians 2:13. Our spirit already knows everything. Look what it says here. When we tell you these things, I was already reading the other scripture. When we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words. Everybody say, we speak words. One more time, let's say it together. We speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to what? Explain spiritual truths. What's he talking about? To explain the things that no eye has seen, no ear has heard. And he says, we speak those things that the Spirit has already gotten revelation from the Father and is now giving us the same revelation. And as he unfolds them in our life, we've got to learn that we got to speak out over our flesh. We got to speak out over our mind and say, this is a thing that no eye has seen and no ear has heard. This is a thing that God is saying in my life. Sometimes, listen to this, sometimes you will have to speak what your spirit knows is real, but everyone else thinks it's foolish. Woo, that's good right there. Let's say it again. Sometimes you have to speak what the spirit, your spirit knows is real, but to everybody else, it sounds foolish. Because why? Because they never heard that. Because no ears heard. They never seen that. Why? Because no eye has seen. What God wants to do through your life and in your life. And so when you begin to speak it out, you're speaking over your flesh. But let me warn you right away that those who are carnal minded will rain on your parade. Those people who are carnal minded will always. Why? Because they just can't understand spirit revelation. They just can't understand what God wants to do in your life. They just can't understand. We say, you know what? I used to be this way, but I have a passion and a vision to do this. And they're like, you can never get there. I remember the person you used to be. You'll never get that. You want to be that? That makes no sense. And really, it doesn't make sense if you really look at your life. We think about it, your life, and it really doesn't make a lot of sense. But to God, it makes sense. And through the Spirit, He's revealing it and putting it in your heart. And when you speak it out, you're speaking over your mind, you're speaking over your flesh, but to everybody else, it's going to seem foolish. They're going to come to you. Pastor Matt, Crystal, when you say, we feel like God's calling us to plant a church, we're going to go to Northwest Arkansas, and they're going to say, you know what, that's a good idea. But I was reading the other day that 77% of all new church plants fail within 2 years. And I also heard through my cousin that they tried to start a church up there, and it didn't go over very well. And I don't think, Pastor Matt, you got the personality to do that. Why? Because to you, it makes no sense. But when God reveals it to you, Pastor Matt and Crystal, you speak it out over your life anyway. You speak it out and say, this is what no eye has seen, no ear has heard. This is what God is saying to me. And I speak it out over my mind. I speak it out over my flesh so that when people who are carnal minded begin to come against me and say, you'll never do this. It'll never happen. It'll never come to pass. My flesh has already been put under subjection to what the Holy Spirit wants to do in my life. That's good. You got a hand. That's a good thing right there. People will rain on your parade. It's okay. Because they cannot understand it. They can't understand what God's wanting to do. Our flesh wants to see it before we agree with it. That's the way it naturally is. That's why our spirit wants to rejoice now for what God is going to do even before we see it come to pass. See, your spirit wants to rejoice. God begins to reveal through the Holy Spirit the plan that no one has ever seen and no one's ever heard. And you got excited about it and you rejoice and your spirit wants to rejoice. But your flesh says, oh, I don't know. I better be careful. So I got to put my flesh under what? Subjection. And I got to learn to speak out over my flesh saying, flesh, you are subject to the Holy Spirit in my life. You are subject to what God says about me. And I have to speak those things out. Let's keep reading it. 1 Corinthians 2:14. But people who aren't spiritual can't what? They can't receive these truths from God. Spirit. What truths are we talking about? The truths of no eye has seen, no ear has heard. It says these people who aren't spiritual, they can't receive truths from God's Spirit. Look what it says. It says it all sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it. For only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. And when I talk about being carnal-minded, I'm not talking about a person who walks around and has evil thoughts all the time. We're not talking about being carnal-minded. I'm talking about somebody who doesn't have the ability to receive revelation from the Holy Spirit. And that's why people who, they're not bad people, and many times your closest family members, when you speak out what God's got a vision for your life, they're going to laugh. TJ and Courtney, when you share the vision that God's given you, where you see a place packed with young adults coming and worshiping God and giving a heart out to God and crying out to God, and you have a passion-like experience here happening in the Fort State area, people around you, oh, that's never happened. Joplin, I can never happen in Joplin. No. This just, that sounds foolish. But you've already begun to speak that vision out over your flesh so that when the foolish people hear it, you know it. And the only reason they're not in agreement is because they're carnal-minded. Because those who are spiritual will what? Hear spiritual things. So when TJ and Courtney share that vision with me, my spirit agrees. Because I'm able to hear what the Spirit's saying. And I say, I agree 100%. I see it too. I can see the Holy Spirit's giving me the ability to look at your vision and say, wow, I see it in 3D right now. That's awesome. I agree. I can see what God's wanting to do. Yeah, right now it doesn't make a lot of sense. But I see what God's going to do and where it's going. People who are carnal-minded, they can't comprehend that. And that's okay. But I speak over my flesh. So why must I learn to speak to my destiny? Because my destiny only receives, only hears, and recognizes my voice. Let me say again. My destiny only recognizes my voice. Jesus said, I can go to the mountain and speak to the mountain. What to say, Justin, after that? It shall be removed from me. But this is the key. I can't go to Justin's mountain and speak to Justin's mountain. I can speak to my mountain, and you can speak to your mountain, and Justin can speak to his mountain. And the quicker we learn that I've got authority to speak to my mountain, that my mountain will recognize my voice, because the Spirit of God has revealed to me what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard. And as I begin to speak out in authority, it takes the mindset. You know, Pastor Joe's like, oh, Pastor G, come pray for my mountain to be removed. And I'm like, in the name of Jesus, I want to say right now that Joe's mountain must be removed. I agree in the power of agreement. Scripture teaches all about that. I'm not discarding that at all. Please don't misunderstand me. But what I'm saying is that Joe's going to have to stand up on his own two feet and speak to his mountain if he wants that mountain to be removed. Stand up on your feet, Joe. And when he stands up and speaks to his mountain, you know what's happening? I'm right behind him saying, yes, Lord. Yes, God. I speak to his mountain too with him. I agree with him. But he's going to have to land and stand up and speak to his mountain. Because why? His mountain recognizes his voice. See, our God-given destiny will be come and take seed in our life when I speak to my flesh the things the Spirit has heard from the Father and has revealed to me. And to you, it doesn't make any sense. But to me, it makes complete sense because my spirit is seeing things that you don't see. My spirit is not seeing me for the person I am. My spirit is seeing me for the person God is forming me to be. My spirit is seeing me for the person God's changing me to be. 12 years ago, I could have never seen myself being a senior pastor. And if I told somebody that, they'd have laughed at me. Maybe a youth pastor, you know, on a good day. But as I begin to speak out over my life and say, God, you're wanting to do something even greater than what I've seen before. God, you're wanting to do something even greater in my life. I begin to speak over my flesh. And when people begin to say it's impossible, and people say it'll never work, when people begin to say it's going to fail, I didn't listen to them. Why? Because they were carnal-minded. But I had already spoken over my flesh, and my flesh had already come into agreement what the Holy Spirit was saying in my life. So we wrestle many times with just putting our flesh under subjection. And we got to learn to speak out over our flesh, speak out over our mind. This is good today. See, my flesh will only obey what my mouth speaks. Isn't that good? My flesh will only obey what my mouth speaks. I'm getting ready to close here. This is good stuff, isn't it? This is good. Are you getting anything out of this today? How many will give me 5 more minutes? If you raise your hand, if you give me 5 more minutes. 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35. All right. We're doing good. Doing good. I got all day. Dennis, I got all day, man. Thanks, man. He didn't raise his hand. He knew exactly what I was going with. I'm going to bring it to a close, but I want to share just a few more things quickly with you. Your dreams are voice activated. They don't start until they hear our voice. Have you ever had a dog that just go to somebody's house and that dog won't leave you alone? Have you ever been to the goat's house? Have you ever done that? Travis and Carol, we go to your house and that old yeller gets out there. You're like, this ain't going to hurt anybody, but man, he looks mean sometimes and he gets a barking. And you don't even want to get out of your door because he's out there. And you're trying to leave and he gets behind your car and bites on your bumper. You're out there in a small group, you know, in their life group. And that thing's, and you're like, move, move, I'm backing up now. And he's like, arr! And you roll down your window and that dog just growls at you like the spirit of Cujo is coming on that thing, you know. And you're like, go away, go away. And that dog goes, arr! And Travis will come outside and say, hey, go on out there, leave people alone. Why? Because the dog will only obey the master's voice. Our flesh will only obey when the master speaks. We hear the master speak to us through the Holy Spirit, and then we say to our flesh, flesh, you must come under subjection to what God is wanting to do in my life. You will no longer control me. You will no longer push me over the edge. You will no longer drive me to make bad decisions. But my body is subject to the influence of the Holy Spirit. My body, my mind is controlled by the Holy Spirit. And no eye has seen, no ear has heard what God is wanting to do in my life. And I claim it as the musicians come this morning. But until you learn to open your mouth and call out according to Scripture those things that be not as though they were, you will sit there and struggle with your flesh. But you call out to your flesh, flesh, you are subject to control of the Holy Spirit in my life. Flesh, you will no longer rule and control my life. Flesh, you will no longer drive me to make bad decisions in my life. Flesh, you will no longer keep me from walking in the spiritual authority that God has for me. Flesh, you will no longer ruin the marriage you're trying to ruin. Flesh, you will no longer be addicted to the things that have been controlling your life. Flesh, I call out to my flesh and call them. We speak out the things that are not seen. We speak out the things that are not heard to what man has heard. And we say, flesh, you will come under subjection. I'm going to invite you to stand on your feet this morning. How many know that Christianity is proactive? Christianity is proactive, not reactive. Let me say again. Christianity is proactive, not reactive. If all you're doing is reacting to everything that's going on around you, you're going to spend your life struggling. You're going to spend your life battling with your flesh. You're going to spend your life up and down, up and down. But when you learn that God has given you authority to be proactive as a Christian, that I can take authority by getting underneath God's authority in my life. And I can call out the things that are not seen by anybody else, have not been heard by anybody else. And I can speak over my flesh. I can speak over my life. I can speak over my mind. And call out the things of the Holy Spirit in my life. I must learn to speak out in authority against evil spirits and learn to speak out over my life. I'm going to invite you today. If this word is taking a hold in your life, you say, Pastor, man, I want to manage my flesh. I want to learn to speak out what God is saying. I want to learn to speak out what no ear has heard, what eye has seen. Come and join me at the front today as we close out the service. I want you to join me in the front. Today, I want to just remind you this. So many times we think of the altar. We have an altar call. And we think of the altar as a place where people come down and they lay hands on you and pray for you. But let me tell you this, that as you come in and scoot your way to the front, make room for those coming in the back, guys. Now, there's just times in your life. I'm for having people lay hands on you. I'm for getting prayer. That's not what I'm saying. But there's sometimes in your life when you got to come to an altar and say, you know what? I'm going to speak over my own life. I'm going to speak the things God is saying about me. I'm going to put my hand and I'm going to anoint myself. I'm going to pray over my own heart. I'm going to lay hands on myself. It said that David did what? He encouraged himself in the Lord. That he prayed for himself in the Lord. That sometimes we can't get past our flesh until I take control and pray over my flesh. I can't begin to step into my destiny until I begin to speak it out verbally and say, this is what the Holy Spirit is saying in my life. So today, as we close this song and we sing this song, Jesus be the center of it all. Today, I want you to begin to sing out, and I want you to begin to cry out. And I want you to begin to pray over yourself. I want you to lay hands on your heart, and I want you to speak over yourself. Say, I'm speaking out over my flesh. I'm speaking out over my destiny. The things that no eye has seen, no ear has heard. Come on.
Sing this. So Jesus be the center of it all. Jesus be the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus, nothing else matters, nothing in this world. Jesus, you're the center of it all. Jesus, you're the center. And everything revolves around you. Jesus, you at the center of it all. The center of it all. Come on. Jesus be the center of my life.
So Jesus be the center of my life. So Jesus be the center of my life.
From beginning, oh Lord,
from beginning to the end,
it will always
be, it's always been you, Jesus.
Oh, Lord.
Jesus, nothing else matters.
Nothing in this world, oh, Lord.
Nothing in this world will do.
Jesus, you're the center of it all.
Jesus, you're the center. Everything revolves around you, Jesus.
Come on, nothing else matters.
Nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do.
Jesus, you're the center of it all.
Jesus, you're the center. Everything revolves around you, Jesus, you.
Come on, sing.
to the heavens. Jesus, be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. From my heart to the heavens. Jesus, be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. From my heart to the heavens. Jesus, be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. So Jesus, be the center of your church.
Come on, sing that again.
So Jesus, be the center of your church.
Every knee.
And every knee will bow. And every tongue shall confess you, Jesus.
Come on, speak the name of Jesus.
Jesus.
There's healing in the name of
Jesus.
Oh, Lord.
Jesus.
Power in the name
Jesus.
Of Jesus.
Jesus.
Freedom in the name
Jesus.
Of
Jesus.
Jesus.
You're the center,
oh,
and everything revolves around you, Jesus. You
come on, sing from my heart,
from my heart to the heavens. Jesus, be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about. Jesus, be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. From my heart to the heavens. Jesus, be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. From my heart to the heavens. Jesus, be the center.
Raise your hands one more time. I want you to say out loud, say, Dear Father, I speak now to my flesh. Flesh, you must come under subjection to what the Word of God says. Flesh, you must come under subjection to the spiritual authority in my life. Flesh, you must submit to the Holy Spirit in my life. Flesh, you will no longer control me, but I captive every thought. I take captive of every thought, and I place it under the authority of God in my life. And I believe, and I speak out over my God-given destiny. I believe that things of God in my life that no eye has seen, that no ear has heard, all the good things that God wants to do in my life, and I speak to my destiny, and I speak to my flesh, that I will move forward in God's word and in the power of God and in the power of His Spirit. In Jesus' name, we say amen. Come on, put your hands together if you agree with that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, one more time, say.
From my heart to the heavens, Jesus be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. From my heart to the heavens, Jesus be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. From my heart to the heavens, Jesus be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. From my heart to the heavens, Jesus be the center. All about you. Yes, it's all about you.
If you agree with that word over your life today, come on, put your hands together. Say, God, I agree. I agree, Father. That's my word today. Hallelujah. I'm going to manage my flesh. I'm going to step under God's authority that I can be over authority the things that God has placed under my life. Turn around to somebody, give them a high five, hug your neck, and say, man, it's so good to be with you today. God bless you. We'll see you tonight in the home group.